Good evening. I am finding victory over anger and relationship issues. Still working on a little codependency, past history of abuse, and still arguing with Jesus about who's Lord. My name is Paul. Let's open in prayer. Come, Holy Spirit, fill the hearts of your faithful and kindle in us the fire of your love. I need to repeat that. Come, Holy Spirit, fill the hearts of your faithful and kindle in us the fire of your love. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. This is lesson 12. It's called Confess. And the sixth lesson that flows from principle number 4. Let's read principle number 4 together. Openly examine and confess my faults to myself, to God, and to someone I trust. And step 5, happy are the pure in heart. Matthew 5:8. Now my step 5 says we admit it to God, ourselves, and to another human being, the exact nature of our wrong. If this is your first time here, or are relatively new, please don't be threatened by the lesson called Confess. This lesson is about halfway through the 25 steps, and when you do steps, usually by the time you get to this lesson, its sequence makes perfect sense. If you remember, lesson 1 had to do with denial. This lesson on confession is a logical extension of that lesson, and that helps us to move out of denial. As we progress through these lessons, tools that help us deal with our hurts, habits, and hang-ups start to become more clear. Remember that we just read in principle 4 that we are to openly confess our faults to ourselves, to God, and to someone I trust. That sequence is important. Notice that my confessions are first to myself and usually are about myself or involve myself. Denial starts to erode at this point. I need to grow on being open to what walking away from denial looks and or feels like. Knowing that denial is a survival mechanism, I have to ask myself, who or what am I trying to protect? Let's look at the confess acrostic. C is for confess your shortcomings, resentment, and sins. Remember that the very first lesson regarding principle 4 is sponsor. Having a sponsor at this point is essential for at least 2 reasons. First, if you have any questions about the wisdom of this step, my sponsor can truly help me because he's already done this step. The second reason is that my sponsor helps keep me from fudging on this step. If there's something that I don't want to confess, it's usually because there's guilt or shame involved. My sponsor, who has already heard my inventory by now, should catch this and help steer me back to where I should be going. Proverbs 28:13 states that whoever conceals a sin does not prosper, but the one who confesses and renounces them finds mercy. Confession breaks down walls, and I am now able to grow in relationship with myself, with God, and with others. Why? Because fear of exposure is gone. You've heard me talk about a teacher sexually abusing me starting at the age of 12. For many, many years, I would not let anyone know what happened, what went on. And I don't care how drunk I got. I'm not going to spill my guts. I truly feared exposure. I can talk about it now because the fear of exposure is gone, and so is shame. Others now share with me about the abusive issues that they've had to deal with, and I know, therefore, that I'm helping others. 2 Corinthians 1:4 states, I can comfort others with the comfort I have received from God. The next fill-in is O for obey God's direction. That concept is usually found in the scriptures, but it should also be noted that nowhere in the Bible, from Genesis to Maps, is anyone given permission to redefine sin. That's God's purview and His alone. Confession means I agree with God about my sins. Remember that in Amos 3:3 it states, how can two walk together unless they agree to do so? So confession helps me restore my fellowship with God, and this requires humility. Best definition of humility that I've ever read is agreeing with God that His way is the best way. The next fill-in is N, for no more guilt. This delivers me from looking back and fantasizing about the what-ifs. It moves me to look forward in a positive way to what's next. It moves me from licking my wounds to wanting to know, what does God want? What does God need? It moves me from egocentricity to Jesus-centricity. The next fill-in is F, for face the truth. Yes, confession does require me to admit my wrongdoing. Psalm 32 speaks to this issue. When I kept silent, my bones wasted away through my groaning all day long. And verse 4 says, for day and night your hand was heavy upon me, my strength was sapped as in the heat of summer. Those two verses, 3 and 4, are a good description of denial and its resulting depression. But verse 5 has the answer for this, and it states, then I acknowledged my sins to you, and I did not cover up my iniquity. I said, I will confess my transgressions to the Lord, and you forgave me the guilt of my sins. Those three verses are a powerful promise of forgiveness of guilt. This does require my trusting God, but I have discovered that turning to Him in my recovery has caused my ability to trust in His promises to grow. That leads to the next fill-in, which is E for ease the pain. You have heard it said that we are only as sick as our secrets. As I confess to myself, to God, and to someone I trust, I am taught that trusting is okay, and that trusting doesn't always have to result in pain and shame. Remember the teacher I mentioned earlier? I trusted him. He was one of the most popular teachers in the school system, so what's not to trust? As a result of having that trust betrayed, I believe I went into the other extreme of denial, cover-up, and do not trust. In recovery, though, I'm learning to trust again. A turning point for me was to realize that Jesus would have gone to the cross just for me. John 3:16 states, for God so loved the world that He gave His only Son, that whoever believes in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. That part of John 3:16 that says He gave His only begotten Son includes Jesus shedding His blood to pay for my sins. Hebrews 9:22 states that without the shedding of blood, there is no forgiveness of sins. John 3:16 includes a part that states, whoever believes. Am I a whoever believes? Yes. But that just makes me one of many, many others who were redeemed by His blood. But what brought it home for me was that Jesus would have hung on that cross, hanging on 3 nails, dressed only in His blood, just for me. Wow. That is love. This leads to the next fill-in, and that is S for stop the blame. By blaming others, I can avoid dealing with what may really be my stuff. Also, I am blaming others that Jesus died for. After all, they too are the whoever's mentioned in John 3:16. Not only that, blaming means I can keep my secrets, and that continues to keep me in isolation. Secrets prevent intimacy in all of our important relationships. Secrets prevent intimacy in all of our relationships, important relationships. I was able to stop seeing that teacher that I mentioned earlier on the last day of my junior year. I don't have time to fill you in about the drama behind that. What is important, that is in the February of the following year, I met this wonderful girl. She actually seemed interested in me, and I was smitten. She is good looking, so good that I was really afraid that some other guy was going to ask her out for the following weekend. So I met her on Friday. Saturday early morning, I called her up and said, "Would you like to go get some coffee?" The very next day. And to my surprise, she said yes. And we had been started dating regularly since then. That's the good news. The bad news, I can't remember. In all those times we dated or were on the phone, I could not bring myself to confess about my involvement with that teacher. Truly, I feared that if she found out about him, that she would drop me. So I know personally that secrets prevent intimacy in relationships. We dated into the summer when I left for the military. She eventually married someone else, and our paths didn't cross till decades later when she decided one summer to track down as many people as she knew from her high school, including me. We were both divorced, and I eventually flew out here. This time, though, I told her about the teacher, and to my delight, discovered that she truly understood. The burden of that secret was finally gone. Yes, we did get married, and neither of us have secrets anymore. The last fill-in is S for start accepting God's forgiveness. 1 John 1:9 states that if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and deliver us from all unrighteousness. I trust the Holy Spirit to guide me in all of this. I stay in prayer daily, asking Jesus for wisdom and direction in my recovery and growth. I find myself sometimes meditating about Jesus going to the cross, even if I were the only one that needed it. I sometimes want to say, "But Jesus, you don't understand what I've done." And his reply is, "Oh yes, I do. And more than you'll ever know. Now, will you let me love you?"